2 Corinthians chapter 5, look with me, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 8, it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent with the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for the perfect word of God you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity I have to deliver the message you've laid on my heart. Help it to be a help and an encouragement to your people. But bless Brother Harold as he comes to minister to us now in song. In Jesus' name, amen. But here in our Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our text verse, I read verses 8 through 10, but our text verse is verse 10. I'll read it again. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." The title of my message this morning is A Christian's Most Important Appointment. A Christian's Most Important Appointment. I don't know about you, but my entire life seems to be driven by my calendar. Am I alone? And this goes back to even my time in the military and my current job. I mean, I am a slave to my calendar. I was thinking back, I couldn't find it on my shelf, but how many of you remember the old, like, day timers? You're dating yourself if you're raising your hand. Now it's all done on our phones, right? And so, but we live in a world of appointments, whether it's doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, appliance repair appointments, school appointments, mechanic appointments, appointments with our lawyers, appointments with teachers, bankers, accountants. We live in a world of appointments. Something that should be on your calendar and an appointment should be your commitments here to your local church. You say, "Brother McCurry, I don't know. I can show you on my phone that I have Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Wednesday night, Sunday night, soul winning time." Do I need that reminder? Yes. Not that I'm going to oversleep and miss or say, "Well, this is something more important this morning than come to church or coming back tonight and hear Brother Drinker." I put it on there, helps me remind me to pray. And also, if somebody, hey, said, "Are you doing something?" And maybe it's on a Wednesday night. I've got something more important. So we have appointments all the time. And some things will get canceled. Some things may get postponed. But there's an appointment as a Christian that will never get postponed. It's never going to get delayed. There's nothing more important than this appointment we're going to talk about this morning. It's an appointment at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you may never heard of this. We often think about judgments in the Bible. We think about the great white throne judgment. And that's where, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, that's where you're going to stand before God, and he's going to look in the books and see if your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if it wasn't, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. That's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. But well before the great white throne judgment, right after the rapture of the church, we're going to have what's called the judgment seat of Christ. So I don't want anybody to think that's like, "Well, I'm saved. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I can just live like I want to live." Not according to the Bible. We're going to look at that today. Because we are going to stand before a judge, the almighty judge, the perfect judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the most important, if you're saved today, the most important appointment you can have. The judgment seat of Christ is also known as the Bema Seat judgment. And the concept of the Bema Seat, and you see a picture there this is actually in Greece, but it goes back to the ancient Olympic times, where the judge would stand there, and as the runners would go by, he would go, "Okay, that's first place. Oh, there's second place. Oh, there's third place." Because they want to make sure that the runners that are in the race got rewarded accordingly. Now, we're not running a physical race. We're running a spiritual race. And the reason the Bible says this judgment seat of Christ is like the Bema Seat judgment, because God has given Jesus Christ the authority to sit there and say, "Oh, there's first place. Oh, there's second place." And we'll talk about it later in the message, but We're running this race to get prizes. Don't know if you ever thought about that. But it does matter how you're living your life here on earth. And if you look at the prophetic timeline, there's nothing stopping Christ from coming back and getting his church. It could happen before we finish this message this morning. And so one is, if you're not saved today, I beg you, there'll be a time of invitation. There'll be some men and women down here in the front. They'll be glad to show you from the Bible how you can know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. So you don't have to go to the great white throne judgment. But if you're saved today, and I know I'm talking to many folks that I've heard your testimonies, that you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, there is a judgment. And it's the most important appointment that you face today. Now this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, will not judge for our salvation. That's already covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life." So this judgment seat of Christ is not to judge us for our sins. That's already covered with the shed blood of Jesus Christ if we put our faith and trust in him. But we will be judged for what we've done in these bodies. We'll be judged for the way that we've lived the Christian life. And when we go into his presence, we'll be finished with these bodies. We'll have a glorified body. I praise God for that. For those that have illnesses and ailments, I think of Mrs. Biesterfeld back there. Thank you, Mrs. Biesterfeld, for being here. Got pains in her leg, got clots. But she said it's more important to come to church. I appreciate that. That's a great testimony. She wanted to keep her appointment this morning. But the question is, will Christ reward us for what we've done in our bodies? How have we lived our life down here on earth? First of all, I got 3 points for us this morning. First is, we must stand before the one who saved us. We must stand before the one who saved us. As I mentioned, this Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ, is only for believers. So if you're saved today, you have an appointment. Lost people will not be there. Revelation 20 and verse 5 says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." So the rapture of the church is the first resurrection. Right after that, all of us that are saved are going to stand there before Christ. If you see there in your text there again, it says, "For we must." No one's going to get an excuse out. No one can sit there and work your way out of this. You know, I know some people say, "Well, I just can't understand that King James Bible." I looked it up in the word in the Greek. The word that we see here for must means must. It's real deep, I know. It says you need to. But it also says, "For we must," what's the next word? All. All. No one's going to get excused. No one's going to get a bye. No one's going to say, "Hey, I want to reschedule this. I got a conflict." The Bible says, "For we must all." And when it says all, that means everybody. In the military, we'd say, "Lottie, dottie, everybody." That's like for whosoever. Everybody. But I want you to think about, who are we going to be standing before? Who's going to be sitting on that throne? Who's going to be sitting on that elevated platform? Who's going to be judging us for what we've done in these bodies here on earth since you got saved? Well, I tell you, he's the one who left heaven for us. He's the one that came down to save us. He's the one that endured the cross for us. He's the one that arose for us. He's the one that has taken away our sins. He's the one who intercedes to God for us. Realize, when you pray, when you conclude a prayer, how do we typically say it? In Jesus' name we pray. Realize, when you pray, you're praying directly to God the Father, but what gives us the authority to, the intercessor, the mediator, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Doctrinally, we do not pray to Jesus Christ. But because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he's the mediator. He gives us access. In fact, the Bible says, as soon as he died on the cross, it says the veil in the temple ripped. That gave us direct access into the Holy of Holies. But it's because of Jesus Christ we have that intercession directly to the Father. He's the one who will call us to heaven at the rapture. I want you to realize we are not meeting some flunky today. We're meeting Jesus Christ. We're meeting the one who saved us. He's higher than the president. He's more prestigious than any royalty. He's more noteworthy than any movie star or professional athlete. He's more significant than any family member. He's more important than any friend. He's Jesus Christ. He's the one that died on the cross for us. He's an advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the bread of life. He's the beloved son. He's the bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the creator. He's the counselor. He's the deliverer. He's the door. He's the everlasting father. He's the faithful and true. He's the good shepherd. He's a great high priest. He's the head of the church. He's thy holy child. He's the I am. He's Emmanuel. He's the judge of the quick and the dead. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lamb of God. He's the life. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the mediator. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty God. He's the mighty one. Our hope, our peace, the Prince of Peace, the prophet, the propitiation for our sins. He's the Redeemer. He's the resurrection. He's the rock. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of the Highest. He's the true vine. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the Word. He's the unspeakable gift. He's wonderful. And he's my Jesus. That's just 50 names of how Jesus Christ is referred to. This is not some flunky that we're going to meet at the judgment seat of Christ. We're meeting somebody wonderful. But are we ready? If you were meeting somebody important tomorrow, how would you prepare? Would you be ready? Would you be late? Would you come up with some excuse on why? This is our most important appointment, folks. If you are saved today, we have this appointment, and we will stand before the one who saved us. But we ought to be living this life today. And until he takes us home, we ought to be living that life with the aspect of, I'm prepared to stand before the one who saved me. Number one, we must stand before the one who saved us. Number two, we must stand before the one who knows all about us. We must stand before the one who knows all about us. This is scary. Because we all have secrets that our spouses don't know, that our kids don't know, that our pastor doesn't know. But God knows. Notice it says, we must all appear. To appear means to be manifest, to show plainly, to make clear. You may be holding on to some little secret sin that nobody knows, but Christ is going to reveal it at the judgment seat of Christ. That ought to make us think, am I ready? I can't take you to a chapter and verse, but could you just imagine, think with me, if we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and he sits there and goes, okay, Brother McCurry, let's see. And puts it all up here on the screen. What are you sitting there right now just say, oh, man, and would bow your head because you'd be so ashamed of? Well, Christ knows it today. We'll be standing before the one who knows his sheep. John 10, verse 27 says, and this is Christ speaking, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He knows us. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. If you're thinking more about what's in the crock pot for lunch today or what the buffet you're going to today versus the Word of God, God knows that. Nothing is going to be hidden. You can't bluff your way through this meeting. Think about some of the things that Christ is going to know about us. He knows exactly what's occupying our mind 24/7, 365. He knows those wicked thoughts. He knows when we come up with some excuse versus serving him or being at church or reading our Bible or praying. He knows that. He knows what we read at home or at work. He knows what we're texting on our phones. He knows what we watch on TV or what we view on the internet. He knows what type of music we listen to. He knows where we spend our money. He knows the degree of our dedication. He knows how dedicated we are to the Lord. He knows how well we're dedicated to the church. Some of you know, and it's in the bulletin, our youngest son's getting married this coming Saturday. Ethan, who's been a member of this church here and now be working out in California after he graduated Bible college. Well, in preparation, my wife wanted to be a good mom and future mother-in-law. She bought Ethan and Kimmy a book. It's titled When Two Become One. And it's talking about things that as a young couple, some things they ought to have squared away in their life. I'm just going to read a portion here. This portion of it is be faithful to church. And I can tell you, this is not just good advice for a young couple. This is good advice for all of us. It says, if you have a sniffle, have it at church. If you are plagued by a headache, endure it at church. If you are tired or you get off work late or you're running low on gas, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's Matthew 6:33. It says, be in church. Put another way, if the pastor handed out $1,000 bills every service to every person who attended church, would you ever miss? Would you do for gold what you won't do for God? The problem is seldom circumstance, but commitment. Think about that. The problem is seldom circumstance, but commitment. So God knows our commitment to the Lord. God knows our commitment to the church. God knows our commitment to our spouses. Are you faithful to your spouse? Do you love your spouse? Are you taking care of your spouse? God knows our degree of dedication to our children. God knows the degree of dedication to our work. God knows the degree of dedication to our hobbies. There's a purpose for the sequence I gave you there, because I think that's a biblical list of our priorities. God ought to be number one. His church, which he died for, ought to be number two. Your spouse should be number three. Then your children, then your work, then your hobbies. We wonder why God doesn't want to bless us, because we have our lives so messed up with priorities. We're going to answer for this when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you elevate your children above your service for God, if your kids are an excuse on why you're not in church, shame on you. You need to get your priorities right. You're going to not stand before me. You're going to stand before the one who saved us and the one who knows exactly what's on your mind, exactly the one that knows everything about us. And we're going to be judged on what we've done in these bodies. What adjustments do you need to make before this appointment? What priorities in your life right now are out of whack? What goals in your life need to be adjusted? What sin needs to be confessed? What bitterness needs to be forgiven? What relationship needs to be restored? What debt needs to be paid? Christ knows all of this. And if you were to stand before God today, are you ready to answer for everything you've done in your body? If not, there'll be an invitation here at the end. You can come down and confess any of those sins. The Bible says, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess his sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be prepared for this judgment. But if you walk out of this auditorium today the same way you walk in, you're probably not ready for the judgment. Just my guess. Number one, we must stand before the one who saved us. Number two, we must stand before the one who knows all about us. Finally, number three, we must stand before the one who has commissioned us. We must stand before the one who has commissioned us. What is a commission? 1987, I graduated college and I was commissioned an officer in the United States Army. By the Constitution of the United States and the powers of the President of the United States, I was given authority as a second lieutenant in the United States Army. A commission is where you are given authority. You're entrusted with responsibility. And Christ has given us authority. He has commissioned us as believers of Jesus Christ. We are given authority. We are commissioned to do certain things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, that same chapter we were in before, but verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And an ambassador is a senior representative. Think about the ambassadors of the United States to other foreign countries. Do they send slugs? No. They send people that are representing us well. I've never seen once a picture on the news of an ambassador that wasn't dressed professionally, doesn't carry themselves professionally. If not, you know what? The president say, hey, you're done. Because the president realized ambassadors are a representative of our country. Other countries send their ambassadors, and they have embassies, most of them in Washington, D.C. But they send their best because they want to be represented well. We're commissioned to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Do we represent him well? Not only being an ambassador, we're also supposed to be a witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is Christ speaking now. It says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Not only are we ambassadors, we're commissioned to be a witness. If you're saved today, you have a gift of eternal life, correct? So why don't we share it with somebody else? Why don't we care enough for this lost and dying world to say, I'm going to take the gift that didn't cost me everything but cost Jesus Christ everything, and I'm going to share it with somebody else? How many people do we come across every single day that's going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell, and we don't even have a clue? The Bible says we're commissioned to be a witness for him. You say, Brother McCurdy, that's just not my style. It's funny how at work we'll talk about all kinds of things. I'll talk about hunting and fishing and camping and the kids and the grandkids. But never once do I say, is that person going to spend eternity or heaven and hell? I think it's a little bit more important than what I'm going to do next weekend. And we have the answer. If you had the answer for cancer, wouldn't you want to share it with somebody else? Man, you'd get published in some medical journals and you'd be on TV. But worse than cancer, we have the answer for hell and the penalty for our sin. And the Bible says we're commissioned to be a witness for him. Do we take that commission lightly? I can tell you, in the military, if I were a bad representation, starting off even as a lieutenant, I would have lost my commission. Because the military has certain standards, certain expectations for its service members, not just the Army, all the branches of service. You have to maintain certain standards for weight and your physical fitness, and you have to qualify with your weapon, and you have to be at the right place at the right time in the right uniform. You know, things that we call standards that we're afraid of in church. But more importantly than serving my country, I get to serve God. And I'm commissioned to be an ambassador, and I'm commissioned to be a witness, but yet it's like, that's not important. I got something more important to do on Saturday morning to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. I've got something more important to do than to be here at church tonight. Remember, we're going to stand before this judgment, and we get to explain to God what's so important that's more important than us obeying his word. This is the most important appointment we're going to have. So we're commissioned to be an ambassador. We're commissioned to be a witness. We're also commissioned to be the light of this world. Philippians 2 and verse 15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as the lights in the world. Can I get an amen that we live in a perverse and crooked nation? This world is not getting any better. The devil hasn't stopped trying to pull us away from God. This world certainly is not more moral than it was in Bible times. So why in the world do we not realize our light needs to shine? Realize the moment you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, God could have taken you out of here. But for some reason, he's left us here. I just happen to think it's because he wants to be an ambassador, because I think he wants to be a witness, because he wants to be a light in this world, this crooked and perverse nation. If we don't point people to Jesus Christ, who is? It's not the TV evangelist. It's not our president. It's not the school system. Why did God leave us here? He's commissioned us to be an ambassador, to be a witness, to be a light in this world. But how's your light shining? Is it like one little candle? We've got the power of God. We have his commission on us. But why do we shun away from this commission that God's given to us? You say, Brother McCray, why do I want to do this? Besides pleasing God, we get to have rewards. Remember I told you back in the Olympics, that judge would sit there and say, okay, that's first place. He's going to get the gold medal. Oh, there's the second place. He's going to get the silver medal. Oh, there's third place. He's going to get the bronze medal. Realize we are running this race for Jesus Christ for awards. The Bible calls them crowns. Now, they're not crowns like we're going to walk around like you think about, you know, to go to McDonald's or go to a Burger King and you get the little crown. We're not talking about physical crowns. But there are crowns that we're going to get. It's back in our text verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It says that everyone may receive the things done in this body, talking about our earthly body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Revelation 22 and verse 12 says, and this is Christ speaking, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. So Jesus says he has some rewards for us. Back to the, you know, the illustration, if pastor was handing out $1,000 bills, would you be here? Probably. But better than $1,000 bills, because I can't take that to heaven. Here's Christ saying he has some rewards for us. Based on how we live in this body now, we will be recognized in heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk around like I'm empty-handed. I didn't do anything for Christ. I don't know how long you expect to live here on earth, but we're going to live for eternity in heaven. That's what the Bible says. And so for all eternity, I get to walk around and say, eh, Brother Harold over here, he's got a truckload, and I'm sitting over here, and I got one, or I got none. I get to live with that responsibility, that guilt, for all eternity. But you know what? God's given us today that I can influence that. Now, these rewards are given to us based off how we lived in this mortal body. We'll get the immortal body. Like I said, they're not things we wear on our head. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 41 and 42, Paul is talking here to the church in Corinth. He says, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Does that make sense? There's the sun, and there's the moon, and there's all these stars out there. Is there a difference between the moon and the sun and all the stars? Would you agree? Well, verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. To be sown in corruption is to be raised in incorruption. So while we have this body here on earth with all its errors and illnesses, we're going to have a glorified body. But guess what? My glorified body is not going to look just like your glorified body. I sort of look at it as we're all going to be in heaven, but there are going to be differences. I told Brother McCarter, I was going to use him as an example. Brother McCarty, if you don't know, he's got a nice little hot rod. Ford, is it Comet? Falcon. I've ridden with him. It's nice. But say I have my piece of junk truck in a car show. How proud do you think I'm going to be with my 2000 one-ton Chevy pickup truck that's got paint peeling and bald tires, broken parts here and there, compared to Brother McCarter's hot rod? We're both in the car show, but who's going to be more proud of what they brought? You're going to be in heaven someday if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. But are you going to be walking around with a hot rod, or are you going to be broken down with a walking around with a broken down Chevy pickup truck? You know, I think about it just like in the military. You know, military, if you're whatever branch of service, the uniform is made, whether it's your, you know, camouflage uniform or your dress uniform, everybody looks the same. But some people have achieved different things, and they've got ribbons, they got awards, they got medals. And no soldier, airman, marine, Coast Guard member, sailor wants to walk around with no recognition. Man, that's a big day, man, when you get an award. Woo-hoo, I get to put a ribbon on. Yeah, you may be a service member, but who wants to walk around with no recognition? Well, as Christians, we're going to stand before Christ someday at the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to hand out awards. He's going to hand out ribbons. And for all eternity, we're going to walk around with these ribbons, these awards. The Bible calls them crowns. It introduces five different types. There's no list of priorities. I'm going to give these to you quickly. One is the crown of righteousness. This is the crown for every person who is looking forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ. Timothy said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at this day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you looking forward to Christ's return? There's a story of a preacher. He's up preaching, and he was talking about going to heaven. And he goes, how many of you want to go to heaven? Everybody raises their hand. There's one little boy sitting down here in front, didn't raise his hand. So the pastor stops and says, son, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, well, yeah, I do. He said, but I thought you're getting a load for right now, and I wasn't ready to go yet. But are you looking forward to Christ's return? Or are you just living your life so much that you just got a death grip on this life? The Bible says there's a crown of righteousness, not just for Timothy, but for all of us that are looking forward to his return, to Christ's return. Next one is a crown incorruptible. This is also known as the victor's crown. It's a crown for those who brought their bodies into subjection, who disciplined their bodies, had self-control. For the sake of time, we're not going to read it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, Paul talks about having temperate, talking about keeping your body under self-control. And if you can do that, you can have the incorruptible crown. The third crown we'll look at is the crown of life. This is a crown for suffering. It's also known as the martyr's crown. It's a crown for those who patiently endured trials and testing and persecution. It's for the person who bravely confronted persecution for Christ, even to the point of maybe losing their own life. James 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The fourth crown we'll look at is the crown of glory. That's for feeding God's people. It's also known as the shepherd's crown. It's a crown for everyone who feeds the flock, whether a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, anyone that carries out the Great Commission can earn the crown of glory. And then finally is the crown of rejoicing. It's also known as the soul winner's crown. It's for those that want to take a part of evangelizing the world, for being a soul winner. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So there are five different types of rewards or crowns that we get the privilege of competing for. And realize I'm not competing against you and you're not competing against me. Christ gave us this standard. The Bible tells us that we're commissioned to be the ambassador, to be the witness, to be the light of this world. I am not your measuring stick. Pastor Metzinger is not your measuring stick. Jesus Christ was the perfect example. It was his book that gave us the instructions. And so as we live our lives, hopefully in line with the Word of God, we have the opportunity, that judgment seat of Christ, to be handed those crowns. And for all eternity, we get to walk around in heaven and show off how God has used us here on earth. Not for us, but for him. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready for that judgment seat of Christ? If it were to be today, I can't promise you have safety going home or to the restaurant this afternoon. I can't promise you tomorrow. But if you were to meet Christ today, are you ready for that most important appointment that we have as a Christian? Now realize this message has clearly been focused on Christians. Folks that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ that know 100% sure if they were to die today, they know they're on their way to heaven. That's our appointment, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema Seat judgment. But if there's someone here in the auditorium today that's never trusted Christ your Savior, that if you were to die today, you do not know you're on your way to heaven, this is not your appointment. You have a different judgment, the judgment, the great white throne judgment. But there is still hope because God's given you this time right now. If you're not saved today, at the time of invitation, I beg you to come down here and talk to one of the counselors so they can show you from God's word, not just what they believe, but what the Bible says, that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Then you would have the appointment of the judgment seat of Christ. But until that point, you're not even invited. It's not on your calendar book. But for us that are saved, this is the most important appointment that we will face. Not your doctor's appointment tomorrow, not being at work on time tomorrow, not the buffet here in a few minutes. The most important appointment you have as a Christian is that judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to stand before the one who, number one, saved us, the number one, number two, the one that knows us, and number three, the one that commissioned us. Are you ready for that judgment? Or what's going to sit there and make you bow your head in shame when you stand before Jesus Christ for what we've done in this body, in this life? Are you ready for the appointment? It can't be rescheduled. It will not be canceled. When it's your time to go, Christ says, let's go. So this is not something that we have control over. But I beg you, let's be ready for it. This is the most important appointment you're going to have. And for every second passing, it's that much closer.